There we go. It's also going to time me, so I better be quick, eh? Now, I wonder what's the scariest road you've ever travelled on? The scariest journey you've ever been on? Where's your mind going back to? Is it in the mountains? Is it by the sea? No? Where's yours, Moshe? Where was that? Okay. My scariest was in Bolivia about 30 years ago. It was going through the high Andes down to the jungle, and it was so narrow. And you were always just on the edge of going off the edge. And so many times I thought, this is it. This is the end. Or there was a time, one of the very few times, I was on a motorbike. Has anyone here been on a motorbike?
Yay!
Yeah. I don't know why anybody would ever get on a motorbike. That was quite literally the most scared I've ever been. My friend was showing off a bit. We were going at 80, the Hammersmith flyover, if you know it, in London. And I thought, this is not going to end well. Now, what do we do at times like that when the journey's getting a bit rough? Yeah. Some people have been saying prayer. Unfortunately, that wasn't what I thought of when I was writing this sermon. I thought, yeah, prayer. There was another answer I thought, oh, I should have thought of that instead. Get out, get off, stop the journey. That's another thought. I thought what I do when the journey's getting really hard is I hold on, I grip, I find something to hold on to. White knuckles from gripping the person in front or from holding on to some part of the car. Praying, please, Lord, let this journey be over quite soon, please. Now, hope is the theme of the first Sunday of Advent. And hope, for me, is all about holding on. Desmond Tutu said, hope is being able to see the light despite all of the darkness. And we continue our dangerous and our sometimes tough journeys because we believe that there will be a light at the end of the road. It's going to be worth it. You know, if we lost hope of ever arriving, or if we lost hope that it was going to be worth the effort, we would get off. We'd get out, we'd call a cab, we'd go home. We wouldn't bother. But, you know, there's also the answer that on our journey through life, we can't get off. We're here. We're in our situation. Perhaps we are journeying with illness. Perhaps we are long-term carers for somebody. Perhaps something has happened in our life that's completely flipped it upside down. And it's at these times where we can't get off. It's there where our hope might be very fragile. But by God's graciousness, we discover there's a small flame offering just enough light to continue onwards until that moment in the journey when our own hope can begin to grow again. Now, the patriarchs, they're the old people in the Bible, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They journeyed through the deserts in the hope of the promised land. They left all they knew in the hope of a promise fulfilled and a life fulfilled. And this is what keeps us going on our journey. It's the confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises because we have seen and we know God's character and God's faithfulness. The psalmist wrote, I am certain I shall see the goodness of our God in the land of the living. So with certainty in the goodness of God, we hold on. And by holding on, we don't just respond to our hope, we actually strengthen our hope. Because each step of the journey that we take, we survive, our hope will grow within us. And I wonder when the journey through life is at its toughest, what have you held on to? What do you hold on to maintain your hope? I think in many different ways and many different expressions, we all are holding on to Christ. Christ experienced through one another in this church. This body of Christ is a source of hope, and it's something to hold on to. Maybe you hold on to your experience of Christ through worship, maybe through prayer, through silence, maybe through coming and receiving the bread and the wine. Maybe you go out for a walk into nature and you discover Christ in the beauty of creation. Maybe you turn to your Bible and you discover Christ in the words of the Gospels. Now, when does this journey end? This is part two of the sermon, by the way. Part one was about hope. Part two is, when does the journey end? Going back to our gospel reading for Noah, when do the floods recede? Well, Jesus warns his followers, stay awake, be ready, because the journey might end quite suddenly. And the journey's end is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, or eternity with God. Now, in biblical times, when our gospel writer was writing, there was real anxiety over, well, when is this? When is the Lord coming? And within Christianity, amongst Christians, there are many different views on when Christ will return. It's this coming that we are anticipating and preparing for in Advent. Now, there's no correct or proper answer. There's just different ways of understanding this hope that we hold on to. So here's my position on this question of when does the journey end? Well, my position is that the good news of Christ is already present amongst us. At communion, we say, great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So Christ is here, in this church, living in and through the lives of each one of you who follow in his footsteps. Each person who surrenders their own will and trusts in the love of God. So what we hope for, our destination, is already here, amongst us, within us. We have arrived, yet we are still arriving. We glimpse the kingdom of heaven during our journey sometimes. We look out the window and we see it. And we see it when we are praying. Maybe you see it when you're worshipping. Maybe you see it when you come for communion. Maybe you see it when you talk to a friend. Maybe you see the kingdom of heaven when you're silent. Maybe you see the kingdom of heaven when you're playing music, being creative. Maybe you see it when you go for a walk in nature. And I believe that you have already seen the promised land, and that's why you're here today. Or you think it might be possible, and that's why you're here today. I wonder if you remember where you were when you had that experience of Christ and you knew, I'm already there. I have glimpsed the promised land. It often comes at those moments when we're most vulnerable, when we're at extremes, doesn't it? At those times when we are most desperate, or those times when we're most elated, and we realize God is with us, and this is what heaven is like. And I don't have to wait to experience it. I'm actually living it now. So this new heaven and new earth, they are not times which you need to wait until tomorrow for. You can be received into the kingdom of God today. Now, a warning for me is the Gospels tell us that it's foolishness to guess about the timings of these things. And so it is important to speak with humility and say that, of course, I might be wonderfully surprised at some point in my life or death. But my hope and my prayer is that the Christ for whom I eagerly wait, towards whom I journey every day, is actually here, at the door, knocking, and all I have to do is answer. Now, at my actual home, the vicarage, I've got a ring doorbell. Does anyone else have a ring doorbell, that kind of thing? Trevor's got one, my mum's got one, that's why I've got one. They're hopeless. They're hopeless. They're so quiet. I can never hear it unless I'm actually stood right by the front door. Otherwise, somebody stood at the front door, ringing the doorbell, and I'm in the kitchen, and I can't hear them. And I was thinking, it rather defeats the purpose of having a doorbell if you have to be stood right by the door in order to hear it. But perhaps it tells us something important about hope. Because we can stand near to the door to hear Christ knocking. We can be expecting a visitor. Somebody is coming. There is somebody who I can open the door to. And when we're praying, when we're having an honest conversation with a friend, when we're worshiping, when we're silent, when we're receiving, these are all ways, not just of holding on, but of placing ourselves right next to the door to hear the knocking of Christ. This is what I'm holding on for. Those moments in my life when I can lay aside distractions. Distractions of preparing for Christmas. Distractions of ill health. Even a new job. And I'm able to glimpse, albeit through a glass darkly, as St. Paul wrote. I'm able to glimpse the glory of the kingdom of God. It's that same desire that kept Abraham going across the deserts. And it's the same desire that brings us to church each day. Well, not each day, each Sunday. So I hope we don't want to leave this place unless we've witnessed the coming of the presence of Christ in our life and in our church and in our world. Advent is then a time of waiting and preparing, but it's also paradoxically a time of arrival. The time to come is this moment. We believe in a Christ who was and is to come. Christ already is. We've seen with our own eyes the glory of the Lord, and in each moment of each day, we can discover the kingdom of God. We just need to hold on. Remain awake. Remain present to all that is happening and allow the graciousness of God to clear a path for us to journey on. Because then, along with the psalmist, perhaps we can say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now my feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Or as the prophet in Isaiah said, many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. So my prayer for each one of us this Advent time is that we won't lose hope. We will hold on. We will hold on to Christ, who is all that we need to survive this journey. And at the end of the day, you will look back and you will discover that it was in the holding on that you arrived. Amen.